Welcome to the Side Hustle to Small Business podcast, powered by Hiscox. I'm your host, Sanjay Parekh. Throughout my career, I've had side hustles, some of which have turned into real businesses. But first and foremost, I'm a serial technology entrepreneur. In the creator space, we hear plenty of advice on how to hustle harder and why you can sleep when you're dead. On this show, we ask new questions in hopes of getting new answers. Questions like, how can small businesses work smarter? How do you achieve balance between work and family? How can we redefine success in our businesses so that we don't burn out after year three? Every week, I sit down with business founders at various stages of their side hustle to small business journey. These entrepreneurs are pushing the envelope while keeping their values. Keep listening for conversation, context, and camaraderie. Today's guest is Andy O'Brien. You might remember Andy from our episode focusing on family businesses. We liked Andy so much, we decided to have him back to learn about him and his business. Andy is a senior partner at Action Coach of Central Texas, a business consulting firm that has offices globally. Andy started his branch over a decade ago with his wife, Jody. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Sanjay. I love being here again.
So thanks for being on. I know some of our listeners have probably heard you before, but for those that haven't, can you give us a little bit about your background and kind of what got you to where you are today?
Wow, that's a deep question. So the first part of it is I grew up in a family business, right? I grew up in a moving business. You know, I heard this line over and over my entire life. The truck never unloads itself. I was in that business until 1993 when all I ever wanted to do was work for my grandfather, work for my dad, got married, started working with my father, as you can imagine, a loudmouth younger son. My dad and I had a little disagreement, and he was right, I was wrong, and I left that business in 1995. Jody and I started our first business is a manufacturing, repping, sales consulting business in all the warm states, Wisconsin, Minnesota, North and South Dakota. And then I sold that business in 2007. I went to the corporate world for 3 years, or 4 years, 3 years, and that business ended up in receivership because of all the shenanigans of the housing shortage and building trades and all that. And then July 7th of 2011, I pulled the pin and we bought this business, a franchise, and we've never looked back. We'll be going on 14 years this year.
Wow. So one of the questions I often have for guests on the show is, have you had entrepreneurial experience, entrepreneurs and family? Obviously, it sounds like a lot of that. Who was the first entrepreneur, your grandfather, or does it go deeper than that?
It actually goes deeper than that. So on both sides of my family, so both grandparents, both grandmothers, their parents before them, my grandmother's, both of my grandmother's families, both immigrated here and of Jewish descent. I just can't pull the name right now. You know, we got in these interviews. I'm like, oh, it just disappeared. But but they both immigrated here. So their parents before them. And then there, as they grew up here, one part of my family was in the car business. The other part was in the moving business. My grandfather was in the bar business, which I don't highly recommend. Apparently it ends in divorce and other shenanigans like that. So we, you know, we stayed away from that area, but yeah.
Good call.
Yeah. But it's all through my family lineage, you know, and, I love it. I mean, I tried working for somebody else. I tried working for my dad. It doesn't always work.
Yeah. Yeah. It's an interesting story that and you've got as great grandparents that were immigrants. And you see that a lot of times with immigrants because they've just got to hustle and do things and make money and start businesses. And it's great to see that it's kind of come down your family tree and it's still alive today with you.
You know, I've said this since the day we started our first business in 1995. It is the entrepreneur that drives the economy. I know there's a lot of stories of all these big boxes and big companies, but the reality is that that's great for the economy. We need every business in the economy, but it's people like you, it's me, it's the coffee shops, it's the gas station, it's the automotive repair, it's the family grocery stores. All of these things drive the economy.
Yeah, 100% agree. If you look at the stats, the vast majority of revenue generated inside of a country is from small businesses. It's not the big companies, even though the big companies are the ones that, you know, you always talk about on the news and everything, because it's just more interesting to talk about these companies of thousands of people instead of the coffee shop with five baristas working there. Okay, so let's talk about starting this. So you had all these businesses, and then you decided to go kind of all in on helping other people. What was the thought process there of making this change? And I mean, you still have a business, but it's really about helping others that have businesses. Like, why did you want to make that change for yourself?
Okay, well, that's what I didn't tell you was when I and Jody went to the corporate world in 2008, there was a moment that I didn't even know about. I'd never read it. I'd never seen it. I was never told about it until one day I read the newspaper and I saw my dad's and my aunt's name in there, that they had sold the business earlier in that year. Uh-huh. But in order to get out from underneath the business, they both had to file bankruptcy. And that was kind of the catechism of me just going, where was his support system? You know, I was too young and dumb at that time. At least right. I thought I was smarter than I realized today. But, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And you look at those people, the folks, the baby boomers, the people that are previous in a lot of communities, there's usually accountants and bankers. And they have great information, but there's no accountability.
Right.
So looking at all of the different models and looking at all of the things, I wanted to help families and family businesses or businesses in general not have to do that. I saw what that did to my father.
Yeah.
I saw what it did to my aunt. I saw what it did to my sisters, my mother. I just, for a goal for me, I never want to see that again.
Right. Right. Yeah, it's tough. And I've heard these stories too. And I know people that have gone through these things as well. And it's difficult. And especially when you don't have somebody to talk to. And a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we don't have people to talk to that we know that have gone through these things, but people have gone through these things.
And yeah.
It's just a matter of finding those folks. So, okay. So this is your first time then, 14-ish years ago, right? Doing coaching. Was there anything that made you nervous about going into this? Like, you've done businesses yourselves, but now this is telling instead of doing. And how did you think about that for yourself?
Oh, you ever heard the phrase, I didn't want to have imposter syndrome?
Yeah.
I had a lot of head trash around that. What I learned quickly is my experience in my first business, my wife's experience in her first business, as a design consultant, PR marketing, we had this reality. Plus growing up, you know, we saw some things, but my biggest fear was people seeing through that I didn't know everything. That was a big part of it. And once I finally got past the, I don't have to know everything. I have to guide people through awareness, education, implementation, and discipline to move their business to the level they want to move it to. And once I got past, it's not about me, it made life that much easier.
Yeah.
And it made results that much easier for clients.
Yeah. What's funny about your statement there is, as entrepreneurs, the way that we have to embrace being an entrepreneur is that we have to realize that we don't know everything and you just kind of have to dive into it. And you've been an entrepreneur multiple times. And then starting into this, you had that same quandary again.
It's I don't know if it's my head trash. I know it's not just my head trash, but we all go through it. Like, you know, I can't remember if it's Richard Branson or who it is that he always says, once you learn to run one business, you learn to run multiples. That is a true statement, except for sometimes our ego and our arrogance get in the way of reality. Like, oh yeah, I got this. And then you trip or you fall or you make a mistake. Not that I've ever made those, but you, I got a closet full of those locked up at home, but you know, it's those you like, oh, okay. And then you see other people that have made the same. And it's like, right. I use my grandson as a great example. So when he was five, I would tell him, that's not going to work out well for you. And I must have said this, you know, he's five. He's a great kid. But
right.
As a grandpa, I let him do more than I ever let his father do or his aunt. And it's so funny. One day he looked at me and he's like, why you say that? I'm like, what? Like, you're, that's not going to end well? Yeah, every time you say that, I get in trouble. It was like... So he connected the dots, but he missed the part in between where it was his problem, not mine. And but that's what we see with entrepreneurs. It's like, we can just be, you know, let me help you through that. Here, let me show you what will happen if we don't plan for that. Let me show you what will happen if you do plan for that. Let me show you how a different decision could help you. Or let me ask you a different question that gets you off of that I know mindset into a, I didn't look at it like that. Okay, great.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's a challenge, I think, that all of us as entrepreneurs have. And I kind of appreciate what you said there too, in that I don't think it actually goes away, right? Like, you move from business to business and there's always things that you don't know. But a lot of times, if you feel like you've been successful in the past, like, oh, I got this. And each business, even if they're in the same industry, are never the same, right? There's always something that you don't know. And so let's dive into like how you deal with that as a coaching, because I think it's interesting. Like, when you've got a client that's doing that, right, that has been previously successful and then now is like, it's all good, whatever. How do you make them aware of like, you don't actually know all of this stuff? You need to actually think about the things that you don't know.
You know, that's a great question, and it's a little longer than you're probably going to want. But from a coaching perspective, it's at taking them on a guided journey of where I want them to go. So we could sit here and talk about communication styles, but there are different styles, and usually, like you just said, there those styles are dominant and assertive. Though they have an I know mindset. So it's asking them questions to get it to be their idea, not mine.
Right.
It's getting to ask the questions of, so what were the results of that find? Oh my God. You know, and it's telling them, oh my God, that's great. Would you mind if I use that with another client? But it's also asking them really difficult questions about specifics that they brush over to get them to recognize there might be a gap in their knowledge base. There might be a gap in the results. Or there might be a better result if they tweaked it a little.
Yeah. So fascinating. I love that. And hopefully that's good advice for some of our listeners and as they think about their own businesses and what they know. Let's dig into kind of your business, like starting this out. So when you took over this franchise, was it already existing and you bought it, or was this starting from scratch?
I bought the franchise, which was a toolbox, right? It's a toolbox full of tools, systems, processes. We bought that. I started it from scratch in our community in North Iowa. So we started with, just like everybody else, goose eggs of revenue, right?
Yeah. So how did that make you feel? And when did you start feeling comfortable? Like, what level of revenue were like, okay, this is going to work?
You know, the first thing was, it's really one of my driving forces, and maybe it's just me, but I think it's a lot of entrepreneurs. When somebody tells me I'm going to fail, I totally just stick that in my pocket. Like, oh, all right, challenge accepted. Here we go. So I had a lot of that. I had a lot of people, you know, you go from one business, you sell a business, then you go into corporate, and then you start a new business. I had family members telling me it would be better if I went and worked at Staples. Because it was safe, or these are real conversations. So for all of you entrepreneurs out there, you're not alone. Usually the our greatest adversaries are the pukers and doubters that are in our own family, let alone friends. So it scared the hell out of me. It totally scared the hell out of me with people, but it also gave me motivation. When did I start really turning the corner? I would say, you know, the first 2 or 3 years, we did about 380, 390 in revenue. And it was just me, right? So I'm going to say this, Sanjay, for everybody out there, the greatest mistake that I ever made was I didn't leverage myself and I never hired an assistant. We could have done probably double that, but I was too, I'll do the marketing, I'll do the sales, I'll do the operations, I'll do the coaching. Nobody can do it better than me. I know everything. Dumbest person in the history of the world.
Right? I think that's pretty standard, right? Like all of us as entrepreneurs, we do that. Like, no, like they are not going to know. It's going to take me more time. This is the classical. Going to take me more time to explain to them than if I just did it myself.
Exactly. Exactly. So I sat in on that squirrel cage for 4 or 5 years. And then I started realizing like, wow. So I personally have never gotten over the fact, you know, even running at, you know, $2+ million in revenue now, I'm wired in the way where it's never enough.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm wired in a way where it's like, I can go on vacations now, but I still worry about people quitting and business not getting taken care of. And, you know, that's one of the belief systems that was ingrained a long time ago. I don't know if it's a good one or a bad one, but I'm always thinking of it.
Right.
But it really started dawning on me in probably 2017, somewhere in there, where I need to bring people on the team. I'm running myself ragged. I could do better business, be more profitable, have more when I start focusing on, you know, financials of the business, focusing on, hey, I'm really bad at administration. Maybe I should stick to my guns and operation and sales. I'm really good in those areas.
Right.
And so I had to really focus there. And once I started doing that, the business started changing for the better.
Yeah. So a quick comment, because I find it very interesting. You touch upon this. When I quit my first corporate job to start my first company, and I've kind of never looked back after that, I was told the same things by people in the company, like, what are you doing? Like, we're just weeks away from a big bonus check. Like, this is obviously not going to work. You're going to fail, this, that, and the other. And, you know, in the years since then, now I reflect. And when people say this kind of stuff of like, why don't you just get a safe job with a corporation? I actually counter back and say like, well, actually, I'm not a risk taker. And that's why I do companies and startups, because when I work there, nobody can fire me. You're such a risky person that you're willing to go work for a corporation that they can fire you at any time. Like, I don't know if I could ever be so risk taking like you. Right. So I like to turn around that kind of concept. And it really makes people think like, oh, wait a minute, you're right. Like, I go to work every day and they could just fire me and I have no control over it. And like, you know, in my very safe job as an entrepreneur, like there's nobody that can fire me except me. And so I'm very much in control of it. So I think as entrepreneurs, we have to change that narrative a little bit and make people realize like, it's not all roses working for, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing working for a company. It's a fine thing if that's what you want to do, but don't paint it out as being an entrepreneur is so much more risk-taking than having a corporate job.
Oh, absolutely. And they do that. They're like, oh, you know, look how smart I am. And look at, you know, I have this cush job. Yeah. I just had a client in December, as an executive coach client. His company went in and removed 14 of the executives. 14 of 70.
Yeah.
It was like, I mean, that's a big swing of the axe. And
yeah,
obviously that's a corporation that has venture capital behind it. And they decided they wanted to do something different. And that's, if you look historically, especially today, with economics, right? I'm not going to make this political. It doesn't matter. But economics of today, we are seeing more and more people laid off today from large corporations than we've seen in probably since 2011. And it's not the post-COVID blues. It's the people are really tightening their belts again. And that means, am I safe? Yeah. If we don't do any business, Andy doesn't get paid, which is not going to happen. But that's right. This quick math equation. Other people, it's like, oh, we can't make payroll, or our stock's moving, or our shareholders are pissed off, man.
Yeah.
The first thing they're going to do is cut, and they're going to cut deep.
Yeah, I 100% agree. So it's not all roses on either side. They have different challenges. Pick your poison type of thing. But if you like one, don't throw rocks at the people that are doing the other. I mean, it takes us all different. It takes us all.
Support for this podcast comes from Hiscox, committed to helping small businesses protect their dreams since 1901. Quotes and information on customized insurance for specific risks are available at Hiscox.com. Hiscox, business insurance experts.
Okay, let's switch gears a little bit. You kind of touched on this, and I really want to dive deep into this.
Okay.
How do you manage the stress of owning a business and working full-time and everything else in life? You talked about being on vacation and still worrying about the business. I think this is a perennial challenge with us as entrepreneurs and having to balance and be on vacation and really be on vacation and not really thinking about work. And, oh, let me just reply to this email or two. Like, how do you think about that and how do you deal with it?
So it's been a long journey. So it was really interesting. I just did a video a week ago when I was on holiday. The greatest lesson that I learned in 2023 was trust.
That's
a really steep. I mean, let's just put it this way. I've been sitting on the edge of that cliff for a long time and never pulled the pin.
Yeah.
And it was trusting my team members. It was trusting in Tanner and Jody and Taylor and DMH and all these people that have my back. When I was on vacation, I was literally on vacation. Yeah. For me, Andy, I set up a window in the morning. It's 30 minutes. If it's on fire and somebody else can't handle it, then they'll reach out to me. But I'd look at my emails really quickly in the morning and 30 minutes, and I let them go. And then I go sit on the beach and I go become one with myself. And I use the term grounded. Right. So I'm people can laugh, but I really like to be grounded with the earth, you know, feet in the sand, sitting in the ocean. For me, that is relaxation.
Yeah.
And it's saying a lot because I don't relax. I am as high strung. I suffer from all the acronyms, ADD, ADHD, BSO. I was a clinical poster child for Ritalin in 1974. Okay. But so back to the stress part of it. For me, my stress release has always been working out. It's just, I'm not some super athlete, but for me, it's right. Clarity.
Yeah. We're going to touch on exercise routines that you mentioned in a second, but first I want to dive a little bit deeper into this because I think your situation has even got an additional wrinkle in the fact that the people in the business are your family. When you're on vacation, your wife is with you, conceivably, potentially your son as well. Like, how do you control that? And do you have rules about saying like, hey, if it's family dinner time, we don't talk about business. Like, how do you draw that line and set those boundaries? Because there is so much blurring of business and family in your life.
Oh, it's so funny you mentioned that. So I've done extensive research. So in my family life, when I was a kid, every Sunday was dinner at grandma's. Okay. Yep. Everybody was in the family business and we didn't have boundaries. We had zero birthdays, Christmas, Easter, you name it. Every holiday, every weekend, every dinner time was a board level discussion about the business. Okay. That's so in our business, we do have parameters. Jody and I, when she left the corporate world, she's one of those, like her mind never shuts off. As the CEO of the United Way for a long time, like we had to do some hot points because she's really good. She was always really good about laying down on the pillow. Oh, I wanted to tell you this, or you need to do this. And for me, I'm up and I'm thinking about stuff. And so we had to really draw a line in the sand. So on vacation, yes, did we talk about business? You're absolutely right. But did it consume us? No. We put time limits on it. We have direct conversations. My daughter-in-law is really good about weekends when the grandkids and we're around. If we start talking about business, because her husband, my son, didn't have really good role models. We had to learn this. he did not. Let's just call it what it is. I've always been that. Even when I was on vacations, the kids can tell you stories of me standing on a tree stump in northern Minnesota on vacation because that's the only place my cell phone worked. You know, so he didn't have a really good role model, but we have put those things into play now that we only, if it's business, we try to get it done between 7 a.m. and 6 p.m. Right. And there are things that will float around. We have a written document about communication. All of us partners do. Here's how we communicate: emails for this, phones for this, text is for this. We have group text. We have it documented so that one person or the other, and don't get me wrong, we've all failed at it as a family for like, hey, I need to talk about this. It'll just take a minute, and 20 minutes later, but it's a work in progress. There's no, I don't care, in family, there is no silver bullet that says, oh, we can't talk about this. Well, we'd like to not talk about this, but we have to have private conversations, because what boundaries mean is when you have sisters and siblings and brothers and aunts and uncles and other people in the business, everybody takes a side. Yeah. And if you're gonna talk about business and it's a hot button, then let's have a private conversation between the two of us, not an outgoing, let's have everybody's opinion matter.
Right.
And that's where it gets into trouble. That's where let's have a debate. Oh, now I need you on my team and you're on your team. So we go back to work on Monday. It's just a giant crap show because everybody's taken a side.
Right. And whatever group is not going to be happy when the decision gets made that is not there.
Exactly.
Well, so
it's hard, buddy. It's really hard.
It is hard. And that's, I guess, the challenges of family businesses right there. Okay, let's dive into, you kind of mentioned exercise. What is your exercise routine and how do you make time for that in your day?
Well, today it's much different than it used to be. So in the first 9 years of our business, I did triathlons. I don't know how I made time for it. In that, it's so funny. And, you know, I've done 6 Ironman. I've done hundreds of triathlons. I have no idea how I fit it all in, but I used to. I got nothing, but the majority of it is I'm an early morning person. Okay. So today I roll, literally my alarm goes off at 4:22. I roll out, grab a cup of coffee, get dressed, and I head to the gym. Now I do I call it the geriatric CrossFit workout, because it's functional fitness is what it is. And I go there for an hour every day, and that's the start of my day. And then from when I get done, from 6:15 till 7 o'clock is my time. Shower, do all the things. And usually by 7:30, I'm at my desk responding to emails. But it's the, for me, it's always been when I'm exercising, I find clarity. It gives me a chance to clear my head because I'm not in the moment. I'm doing something else that's intense that allows me to take my mind off the problem. So I actually find a solution. And that for me has always worked. And that doesn't work for some, but for me, it's like when I'm full on sweat, about ready to die, that's perfect. And people are probably laughing and go, man, he's fluffy. I am now. And I'm okay with it. I have paid my dues, right? But the intensity is what gives me clarity.
I don't know that anybody listening is going to call you fluffy after knowing that you've done triathlons and Ironmans and things like that. I definitely wouldn't. But I'm with you. A lot of times when I'm working out, I will come up with ideas or things. And then the other places for me is when I'm driving or I'm in the shower. Like those are times when something else, you know, I'm just kind of doing things and not really thinking. And that kind of free flow creativity is kind of where it hits for me.
I agree. It's that I find answers in the quiet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Nobody has a chance to bother you. Like when you're running on the treadmill or something, like you're not answering a phone call. Like just leave me alone. Let me do my thing. So
it is that way. And I used to love to run. I used to love that because you could go run on trails or get off the beaten path. And there's nothing easier to put your mind back on what you're supposed to be doing is when you're running and you trip over some tree roots and you bite it.
It's like oh, maybe I should stay focused on what I'm doing here and not anything else.
Exactly.
Okay, Andy, let's a couple more questions for you. You've had like, you know, a long stretch now coaching. And then before that, doing these businesses. If you could go back in time and do something differently, what would that be and why?
Ooh, great question. Holistically in this today, if I could go back to one thing, I would have never sold my first business I would have put people in play to run that business while I was doing other businesses, because that had created a different wealth event. Yeah, did we make some money? Absolutely. But we would have not, we would have made probably 10x that number had we kept that business and put people in play. And I think that's the part of entrepreneurship that we all don't always lose track of, but it needs to be like this. I work with a lot of businesses that are in the exiting side of the business, right? So
yeah,
one of the common themes, and this goes to your point of what would I do differently, was I would have kept those businesses and grown them so that the generational or the wealth event would have been 10x. And during that time, because at the time I was a younger man, it's like, oh, it's cash flow. It's quick cash. We can do other things with it. We can invest it. But even investing that money wouldn't have had it still doesn't have the effect of if I would have kept it. Right. So that's what I would have done differently. And I would have kept, you know, Jody's business going. But again, this is that whole thing I told you about this business. I did not know what I didn't know until I was prepared to know it by leverage, teaching people, getting them to do more, building systems and processes into the business. I didn't do that. So therefore, I was a solopreneur that thought I could do everything. And now, you know, I'm 54. I've been doing this for almost 14 years. I know my mistakes. I know that now I play to my strengths. I don't play to my weaknesses. Somebody wants me to build a spreadsheet. I'm like, no, straight up, not going to happen. And they're like, why? Because I don't have to. And I will pay somebody who will do a better job, who has the financial aptitude, who will build it exactly like I want it with the results. And the same thing goes for marketing, operations, HR, IT. Those are areas we hire people for because they're better at it than I am.
Yeah. Yeah. 100% agree. 100% agree. Okay. Last question for you.
Yeah.
What would you tell somebody who's thinking about taking the leap of starting a family business, joining a family business, starting a side hustle, like any of those things? Like what's your piece of advice for somebody like that?
The original answer is do it, but build a plan first. Don't wing it. Don't just, hey, we're going to jump into this. We're going to figure it out as we go. That is not a plan. That is a stressful heart attack waiting to happen. build out a plan that has all of the things that you know, your crystal ball.
Right.
List out all the things that will go wrong so that you're fighting that battle now, not when it happens. Oh, I'm going to have a fight with my wife. Oh, I'm going to bring in my son and they are going to do this. You know, they're going to sweep the floor. Or I'm going to bring in this, my daughter, after college. Oh, my siblings are going to have a fight. Plan for it. Plan for the problem. Because if you plan for it, the likelihood of it happening isn't going to be there. But if you don't plan for it, you don't have any action steps or policies put into place, then that will happen. And then you'll have to deal with the ramifications.
Yeah. And you're scrambling for what to do next because you can't think calmly in the heat of the moment. So absolutely great advice. Andy, this has been fantastic. Where can our listeners find and connect with you?
They can connect and find with me at, do you want my email address or you want my website?
Website's great. Email address, whatever you want to share.
Yeah, it's they can connect with me at andyobrien@actioncoach.com. They can connect with us at actioncoachcentraltx.com. We have, and of course, all the different social media stuff that goes with it, whether it be Instagram or TikTok or Facebook or LinkedIn. Just give us a look and we'll be happy to have any conversation with anybody that's looking at any challenge or just wants the advice of, should I do it or shouldn't I not?
And you just recently had a book published too. Why don't you mention that as well?
We did. Is it okay if I show it? So
yeah, absolutely.
We published on January 1 and it's called WTF Was I Thinking? The Family Business. And it's a humorous, just it's a short book about me and family businesses and all the different family businesses that I've worked with. And there is in the book, there are, I think there's 17 action items to check in your business to help you in those areas, plus with over 100 different takeaways of what to look for in your business to help you not make the same mistakes that I've made. Wait, I didn't make any mistakes. Sorry. I'm just kidding. It's to help you not make the mistakes that I've made in the last 30 years of business.
Yeah. This has been awesome, Andy. Thanks so much for being on today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, Sanjay, and the opportunity to be with you.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Side Hustle to Small Business podcast powered by Hiscox. To learn more about how Hiscox can help protect your small business through intelligent insurance solutions, visit Hiscox.com. That's HISCOX.com. And if you have a story you want to hear on this podcast, please visit Hiscox.com/share your story. I'm your host, Sanjay Parikh. You can find out more about me at my website, sanjayparikh.com.